Zoomer Radio, the original greatest hits. Al Green, Let's Stay Together on the Morning Zoom with Sam and Jane. There is worldwide condemnation of the brutal war waged on Ukraine by Vladimir Putin. Sanctions against Russia have been ratcheted up, and there are global anti-war protests. But the reality in Ukraine is stark. Hundreds dead or injured, and growing fears that the country's capital, or the country itself, will fall.
Joining us now is Marika Stadnik. She is with the Toronto branch of the Ukrainian Canadian Congress, the Vice President of External Affairs. Marika is also a personal friend of me and my husband, Myron. Marika, how are you making out? How are you doing?
Well, we're just feeling devastated. You know, I mean, yesterday was a really, really tough day. And personally, I know I've been in contact with a couple of friends and family in Ukraine, and waking up to news this morning. And I just noticed this morning that The Guardian did confirm and put out a media report about the 13 border guards who were basically massacred by the Russian military warship that encountered them at their border guard station. They were told by, you know, the Russian military to put down their arms, and they basically said, and I'm quoting, they told the Russian military, go F yourselves, and then they were killed. So I think we're looking at something that is much, much bigger than Ukraine going on here.
And what do you think? Expand on that thought, if you would, Marika.
Well, you know, I have been giving this a lot of thought, and Putin's last speech a couple of days ago caused a lot of concern and alarm among members of our community. This is bigger than Ukraine in the sense that, you know, Putin has become almost delusional. I think he has lost all grip on reality. But, you know, to Putin, the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century was the fall of the Soviet Union. And he just can't wrap his head around that. You know, he talked in his speech with very restrained anger about how Ukraine has no right to exist, that Ukraine does not exist, that Ukrainian people don't exist, that Ukraine was a creation of Lenin, you know. And and this morning, reports out of the Kremlin are, you know, that we are advancing on Kyiv to denazify Ukraine. Well, you know, in real speak, we all know what that means. It means overthrow the government and install a puppet Kremlin-friendly regime.
Marika, at the same time, able-bodied men, Ukrainian citizens, are asked to report so they can become... Do you have any relatives or friends who would be described as able-bodied men living in Ukraine?
At the moment... No, but I do. I was speaking with a member of my family yesterday. You know, I've been checking in with her every day to make sure that they are all safe. And I said to her, look, you know, we have someone in Poland that you can go to if you feel you'll be safer there. And she said to me, I can't leave. Now, she is in Western Ukraine. She said, as of yesterday, things were still quiet there. But this morning, there was eruption of, you know, the overhead airstrikes.
Yeah, explosions said, in Lviv today.
Exactly. But she said, I can't leave. I have to go to work because I am part of a police protocol that will require me to document. Now, I don't know, you know, it was a very technical Ukrainian term, but she was going to stay behind to make sure that she performed her duty for the local police, you know, in terms of documentation. So I said, well, you know, the offer's open, send the kids if you have to. But I signed off with her yesterday saying I have to go to work. You know, every citizen of Ukraine is ready to stand and defend their homes. Remember, they're in their homes. This evil has come to them.
Marika, your stories and the stories that have been in the media, the stories that Jane has shared with us over the last couple of days about family in Ukraine, have prompted so many listeners to reach out and ask what they can do. So what can people do to help?
Yes. You know, at this point in time, I think moral support is the best help that can be offered to Ukraine. I know we have, the community has mobilized rather quickly, and it would behoove not only Canadians, but all people around the world who enjoy enjoy the Western democracy institutions that we all benefit from. It would behoove all of us to put pressure on governments, you know, to avoid this kind of thing from escalating even more. I think we need to lobby the government very, very strongly at this point to implement even stronger sanctions. You got to hit them in the pocketbook. You know, we're talking billions and billions of dollars.
And of course, there are rallies this weekend. I look forward to seeing you. We're planning to attend on Sunday.
Yeah. So there's a march on Sunday. There's actually a protest today at 5 p.m. At the Russian consulate on Lakeshore Avenue. We're planning a march on Sunday, which will have a downtown route. We have also established a humanitarian fund under the Canadian, it's escaping me right now, but there is a humanitarian fund that has been established. The Canada-Ukraine Foundation, in conjunction with Ukrainian Congress National. So donations are welcome there, and the fund has been supported in the last few days with many, many donations from Canadians. But, you know, really, I think what Ukraine needs the most and the way we in the West can support Ukraine right now is to put pressure on governments to provide Ukrainians with the defenses they need in order to defend themselves.
Marika Stadnik, Vice President, External Affairs with the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress in Toronto. Marika, thank you.
Thank you so much.